I'm thankful to God when somebody makes a promise to me and they keep it. Ryan, thank you for coming, man. I appreciate it. He said he was going to come, and he's here today. I love my brother. Mighty man of God. As you all are, mighty men and women of God. All right. Let's finish those up, get everything out of the way. I'm going to ask that there be no distractions. I'm going to ask you to focus your, get your eyes off Brother Michael and get your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. It's all about him, as we sung tonight. It's all about him. Amen. Amen. And we're going to just speak as we speak here by the Spirit of God. Tonight it's symbolic of a staircase or a ladder. And as God releases this word, every time he releases a word, if you are willing to take another step upon that ladder or upon that stairway, God will increase your faith. Amen. And it's not just any faith. It's the supernatural faith of God that he put in you. Amen? Oh, my gosh, what are we going to have to do, Lord, to get this crowd excited? When God gave this word today as a title, God's Redemptive Plan, there's so much we could speak on this for the rest of the year and step into 2024 on the same message on the redemptive power of God. And would somebody, all I need is one of you to agree with me. Would somebody here agree with me that everything that God gives us has the potential to do exactly what his word says he will do?
Amen.
When we yield to that. Or when we surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every time, not sometime, every time. It's a willingness. Amen. God doesn't violate our will, but he gives us a free will to read his word, study his word, and then when it's necessary, apply his word to every situation and every circumstance in our life. And when we willingly do that, the Holy Spirit will back you up 100% every time.
Amen.
To the things that the world says impossible for man. We get that. But according to my Bible tells me that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
So who do I believe? Do I believe the words of flesh and blood? No. I believe the words of a living God.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to turn off your phones there, please. Unless it's Jesus calling you, put it on silent. Hallelujah. So tonight we want to step out here and giving you a brief description, pretty much a Reader's Digest version of God's redemptive plan. Are you ready for this? Redemption is the act of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. Sin, its intention. What's intentional or unintentional, error, bad or incorrect choices, and evil, hear Brother Michael tonight, evil assignments from the kings of darkness. And please stay with us tonight. As this word is going out, you may not get the revelation of it right away, but I will promise you that as you seek God out in this message, as the week progresses, God will give you revelation. He'll give you insight. He will download to you what is in this message. Amen? How many of you know the Bible says that we work out our salvation daily? Everything that God gives us is daily work forward. Amen? We work out our healings daily. We work out our deliverances daily. It's a progressive work of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. But unless we inquire of him, we're not going to be able to advance. Redemption is the act of regaining. Somebody say regaining.
Regaining.
Or gaining possessions of something in exchange for payment. It is the action of buying one's freedom. According to the word of God, our salvation has been bought by the precious blood of Yeshua. Amen. So are you ready for a word today?
Yes.
We've been stepping into these Monday night services right from the right from the top with a prophecy, a prophetic word. Now, we want you to understand these words that are coming to you through these lips of clay are not my words. They're the words coming from the heart of Father. Just like he speaks through me, he speaks through you. I want to encourage you today to understand that the gifts that God has given you are profitable for you, but also for his kingdom and his kingdom people. And he requests, he requires, it's almost a command that you put those gifts into operation. And when you put the gifts of the Spirit of God in operation, those blessings that God has given you, he will collaborate in developing the fruit of the Spirit that comes from him. And when the two come together, and you begin to function and operate, hell trembles. Amen. Demons flee. And they run in terror. Can I get a witness in the house? Amen. Yeah, go ahead, give him praise. So here's a prophetic word from the Father's heart to us tonight. And I stand in line with you. Let me give you an example. Although I'm standing up here right now and I'm speaking to you, as this word is going out, watch this. I'm sitting here as well with you to receive what God is releasing. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah, sometimes we have Holy Ghost aerobics in the sanctuary, but that's okay. Right. Praise the Lord. How many of you know we need some exercise?
Yes.
Physical. All right, praise the Lord. Stop, Michael. All right, here's the prophecy. Hovering in the atmosphere is a divine directive, a charge sent from my throne room of glory. From my heart to your hearts to seek me in every aspect of your lives. As you do, you will encounter a demonstration of my power in love to position you, directing you to step into this next season of change. A change to develop in your spirit man a spirit of excellence that will lead and guide you to take possession of what my word has to offer you to the life of my beloved son, Jesus. It is to this word, I, the Lord of hosts, emphasize this directive to surrender unto me daily, in the morning and in the evening. As you do, you will experience the intervention of Holy Spirit himself showing you how to work out your own salvation through your surrender. Receiving deliverance with healings through my written word with prayers and supplications. Tonight, I, the Lord of hosts, am imparting an anointing that will quicken, stir up, activate an unction within you to put aside every distraction passing through your ear gates, your eye gates, that would prevent, even paralyze you from entering into a quiet place to be alone with me, to hear my voice with clarity, to take hold of my every direction for your lives, says the Spirit of Truth. As the days, weeks, months are before you, do not lean to your understanding, nor incline your ears to the voices, the utterances of flesh and blood. With your hearts prostrated at the feet of my beloved son, Jesus, at that moment of surrender, I, the Lord of glory, will meet with you through intercessions, guiding you to step into the steps that I, the great I am, have intended for you. At that place and in those moments, I will impart godly wisdom, giving you godly counsel, giving you understanding that I, the Lord of hosts, will never leave you or forsake you, carrying you to still every storm with its potential to distract you from entering into my presence, removing every mountain of the enemy as an obstacle preventing you to get closer to me, and taking down every wall of resistance preventing you from hearing my voice clearly. My God, somebody. To bring down every Goliath that stands in your path to claim victory over your circumstances in your lives, says the Lord of hosts. Tonight's release will provide you with the means necessary for you to leave your sacrifices at the altar of surrender. Now hear this, saints, and pass through the veil to enter the most holy place to be alone with me. As you do, you will encounter the same intimacy I have with my Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This intimacy that is well needed during these seasons of change. Tonight, hear my heart to you. This is one of the many desires I have for you, my beloved. Therefore, therefore, do not come to me only in the song and the dance, but come to me in the stillness. Come on. But come to me in the stillness of my presence with your hearts surrendered. Opened to hear my voice speaking to your hearts for this end time move of my spirit in the earth, says the Spirit of the living God. Father, we ask you now that these words that have been released through these lips of clay become seed planted into the fertile soil of our souls. And as they're planted, we ask you to germinate those seeds, that they would produce the fruit of its kind. That from those fruits, we can use them to reveal your kingdom in this earth, touching the hearts and the lives of humanity. If you agree with that prayer, somebody give God a shout in the house. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, let's hit the screen. Open up that screen. Yeah. Open up the screen. Let's bring it up. Don't shake your head, no. Hallelujah. We're going to be reading from the Amplified Version. Saints, I just get emotional because it's the agape of God. And I pray some of you come up tonight, you can experience that moment of his agape on your life. I mean, truly, truly, where God will just give you a glimpse of this eternal agape that he has for us through the life of his Son. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 from the Amplified. We won't keep you too long on the screen, because God has other things intended for us as well. No pressure on you, brother, but hurry up. We're short-staffed on the media booth here today, so please be patient with us. So in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 1, and going through, and you see me squinting here, I only have one contact on tonight, so help me out here, pray in the Holy Ghost, amen. From verses 1 through 8, yes, and I'm asking God to heal my eyes. All right, here we go. Saints, in this portion of scripture, no matter what the translation, how you read it, whether it be King James, New King James, the Message Bible, the New Living Translation, it all exemplifies this one thing: the changeless Christ, or the changelessness of, no, the changeless of Christ. How many know God never changes? Come on. How many know God never changes? The Bible says he's what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. So get hold of what God's talking to us tonight about this redemptive power. His redemptive power never changes. Come on. The power to save, the power to redeem, the power to save, the power to heal, the power to deliver never changes. It's constantly in operation. Hebrews 13. Let love of your fellow believers continue. Do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers, especially amongst the family of believers, being friendly, cordial, and gracious, sharing the comforts of your home and doing your part graciously. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body and subject to physical sufferings. Now, please hear this, saints. Marriage is to be held in honor amongst all, that is, regarded as something of great value, and the marriage bed undefiled by immorality or by any sexual sin. For God will judge the sexual immorality and adulterous. Let your character, hear this, saints, let your character, your moral essence, your inner nature be free from the love of money. Shun greed, be financially ethical. Be content in what you have, for he has said, I will never, under any circumstance, desert you nor give you up. Hear this, saints. He will never desert you nor give you up nor leave you without support. Nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently says, the Lord is my helper in times of need. I will not be afraid what man will do to me. Now hear this, please. Hear this. Remember your leaders, for it was they who brought you the word of God and considered the results of their conduct, the outcome of their godly lives. And imitate their faith, their conviction that God exists. Some say God exists. And is the great, and is the comfort, excuse me, and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider of eternal salvation through Christ. And imitate their reliance on God with absolute trust and confidence in his power, his wisdom, and goodness. All right, here's the message for tonight in this explanation of God's redemptive plan. Jesus Christ is present tense, right here, right now. Jesus Christ is eternally changeless, always. He's the same yesterday in Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation 22:21. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get a witness in this house? And those of you that are online, shoot us some thumbs up. And the power of God's redemption for his creation is found throughout the Bible. Amen? Can we prophesy to you today? Can we speak the written word of God as a prophetic word into your lives? This is for us tonight. Remember, I'm sitting in the front row with you here today. Nothing, saints, nothing can or will be able to separate you from the love of God towards you and the love of God that is in you. And all that the Apostle Paul learned, everything that he experienced after his road to Damascus experience, the beatings, the flogging, the stones hurtled at his body, almost bringing him to a physical death. Paul writes to the church at Rome in Romans 13:8. For I am convinced, listen to the apostle Paul, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I don't know who this is for, but God's speaking to somebody in this house. I want you to understand that no matter what comes your way, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God that's in you. Not the circumstances, not the situations, and we've all been through stuff. I get it. Amen? But the psalmist writes in Psalms 25, 22, here was his prayer. Here was a song of deliverance. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all of his troubles. In the Psalms, the prophetic song tells the reader, it is God. Somebody say God. It is God who will redeem, save them, deliver them from any trouble. Somebody say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, come on. You got more of you in than that. Come on. Hallelujah. God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. One person agrees. Give you some knuckles, bro. It was God who told Moses he would use him to redeem, save, to deliver his beloved Israel from 400 years of bondage. God's the same today. It was God who told Elijah he would redeem, save, and deliver him from the clutches of Jezebel. God is the same today. It was God who redeemed, saved, and delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. Saints, God is the same today. It was God who redeemed, saved, and delivered Daniel in the den of lions. God is the same today. These are all examples to have you step into this place of understanding what's taking place, and what's symbolic of the lions and the Goliaths are all spiritual entities that are working and trying to come against us. But I'm telling you today, God is the same. He's the same. He'll redeem you. He'll save you from the Goliaths and the mountains that are in front of you, or somebody in the house. It was God who sent Gabriel to Mary, Jesus' mother, to confirm she would conceive a child who would be a savior, the one who would redeem, save, and deliver humanity from an eternal hell if they choose him. Saints, God is the same today. It was God who anointed Jesus the Nazarene, God's begotten son, to redeem, save, and deliver, and to heal. In Acts 10:38, how God, somebody say God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with great power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. It was God who anointed the early church, giving them his power to redeem, save, heal, and deliver them and the generations after them by baptism of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? For preaching. Is somebody in the house? Let me step out of this. How many of you are born again? Spirit-filled. Tongue-talking. Not every hand went up, but that's okay. Ready to move in the Spirit of God. Because the same anointing that was given to Jesus when he was baptized in the River Jordan is the same anointing that God has given you when you became born again. Don't look at me like that. And because of that baptism of the Holy Spirit upon you, God has prepared you and given you that purpose for preaching, for prophesying, for the laying on of hands, that the lame would walk, the blind would see, heal broken hearts, and to set every captive free. Saints, God has given you that same identical power. The boldness to preach. The boldness to prophesy. The boldness for the laying on of hands. That the lame should walk, the blind would see, the broken heart would be healed, and for you to set the captives free. Father, we need a Pentecostal movement here tonight. Come on, we need an impartation. I'm asking for a quickening that these words would resonate within our spirits and we would give more than a great shout of hallelujah for what you're doing in us and through us in this latter day time before you return. Is somebody in the house? Will you agree with me tonight? God's intention from the beginning is that as redemption would be the one who would provide a plan to rescue, make an exchange, to fulfill, as to accomplish his plan of salvation, redemption, by sending the Holy Spirit, by sending his only begotten Son. Excuse me. As Jesus surrendered his position in glory for a season, he became the ultimate perfect sacrifice for the salvation of humanity. Today, right now, you and I, every believer, now benefits from the rewards of redemption, eternal salvation from the one who is salvation, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Who in the sanctuary and those on the line will agree? If you agree, then the question to you tonight, if so, what is your testimony? How do you testify to others what God has done in you and through you? How do you testify of your salvation? Come on. How do you testify of your healing and your deliverances? There's a redemptive work on the cross that God has displayed, giving you the ultimate purpose and understanding that you too have been redeemed to do exactly what Jesus was doing on this earth to redeem humanity. Amen. That your voice would be his voice on the earth. That the unsaved would become saved. Those who are desperately fighting against sickness and disease would be healed. Is somebody in the house? Those who are bound, in their minds by the works of the enemy. Redemption refers, and we're gonna bring this to an end. We've got more, but I just know I need to move on this tonight. Redemption refers simply to the work of Jesus on our behalf, whereby he purchases us, he ransoms us, and every believer at the price of his own life secured, making sound, shielding, and guarding our deliverance from the bondages and the condemnations of sin. The New Testament speaks of Christ's saving work in his way frequently. And what is being emphasized, what is being embraced, what encompasses this incredible gift of redemption. Let me slow down. Jesus brings repentance, brings belief or to have faith, to be baptized in water, and to receive the Holy Spirit as known as being baptized in or filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, it's a good word. Tonight is a sure word of prophecy being released. Restoration from God is given through his redemption. Restoration from God is given to you through his redemption. Restoration is the action. Oh, bakia. I can't help it. I got to speak. Oh, my God. Restoration is the action of returning something to a former owner, place, or condition as to restore something or someone to its original condition. Is anyone here tonight in need of something that has been stolen or taken to be replaced? I said, is anyone here tonight or online in need of something that has been stolen from you or taken from you to be replaced? Will somebody here tell us tonight that you are here or online to experience, to witness, to testify of the power of redemption in your life? The unction, the anointing, the power of redemption to save, deliver, and heal is in this sanctuary tonight, saints. It's not the work of a man, but is the work of the eternal Holy Spirit. He, Bararabaka, the Spirit of the living God, operating and functioning in the south. It is through the power, the redemptive power that came through the life of Jesus and the blood that he shed 2,000 years ago. My God, somebody. Redemption came. Ooh, Kababa. I love these instant downloads. Redemption came through Christ Jesus because of his surrender unto the will of the Father. Through God's redemptive work, God provides restoration to heal and to remove unforgiveness. Oh, somebody. Oh, somebody. One of the most strategic and strongest weapons that the enemy uses against the life of a believer is when something takes place in their lives that seems to be unforgiving. That unforgiveness settles. It becomes a seed. It roots itself in the heart of the individual and begins to germinate and produce the fruit of its kind. That unforgiveness is a very, very strong means of the enemy. It's a tool that the enemy uses to suppress God's people from advancing his kingdom in the earth. Through God's redemptive work, God provides restoration to heal, to remove unforgiveness, to heal a broken heart, to restore and heal marriages, heal, to restore broken relationships in the lives of parents to their children, children to their parents, siblings, healing from unhealthy soul ties. Redemption is given to restore damages to finances, minds that are tormented, bodies that are afflicted, and a host of things. God's redemptive plan is all-inclusive, saints, and it's able to do exactly what God's word says it will do in us and through us when we put it into effect. And please don't misunderstand us here as a prophetic ministry. We will continue to lay hands upon you, prophesy into your lives, speak words of knowledge. We will continue to do that until we're taken into glory. But there must come the reality of understanding that it's up to you to gain back or to take back what the enemy has stolen from you. It's up to you to walk in this redemptive power of God, to take possession of everything that belongs to you as a son and daughter of the living God. We're ready to lay hands. I'm telling you, the anointing here right now, it's going to crush, come on, it's going to crush the seeds of the enemy. It's going to bruise the head of Satan tonight. The power of redemption. Salvation can restore. There's nothing, saints, there's absolutely nothing that the redemptive power of God cannot restore to the life of Jesus and the blood that he shed 2,000 years ago. And listen, we're not trying to get all religious on you. We're simply declaring, thus saith the Lord, or verily, verily, I say unto you, the words of Jesus. And it's true. We hear, oh, please hear this. We had to put this in. The Lord was like kind of tapping on my shoulder today. Hear this. It's true. We here at Genesis do not have all the answers to why many of the prayers of the saints go unanswered. We don't. But we can confirm that when acted on, the power through God's redemption can bring restoration to every circumstance and every situation in your life. Come on. So here's the question. Why was Jesus successful in doing what Abba told him to act on and speak? Because he spent time alone with God. Going into a private place to hear God's voice. To see first what was going to happen in the spiritual realm for it to manifest in the physical realm. It's not in here. Another download. I can promise you this because we have experienced this at Genesis in our school of intercession years ago before COVID when we were over here praying. That when you get alone with God, when you get silent before God and with a heart of integrity and a passion to hear from him, he will literally take your spirit man into the spiritual realm and you will begin to see the activities that are going on in the spirit. Oftentimes, he'll let you see what is about to come by the enemy so that when you see it, you take your position in prayer and you prevent that thing from manifesting in your life. He'll do that. He'll do that. His time alone with God to see first what's going to happen in the spiritual realm. Jesus' success in revealing the kingdom of God in the earth was done through prayer and fasting. His surrender to Abba, not attempting to move on anything until he was directed to by the Spirit of God. And I just get in line with you on this. Sometimes the thought will come to our mind and, oh yeah, we're so spiritual. Oh yeah, it's God, it's God, it's God. It's not God all the time. Sometimes we get too presumptuous on a thought or an idea that comes to our mind and we jump on that thing like a blue jay on a June bug. And before you know it, we're tripping over our own feet. We got to pick ourselves up again, and start all over. So tonight, we take you back to the altar. Last Monday night, we did this, and I said, Lord, again, he says, again. And again, and again. And again. We take you back to the altar that God set in this house last Monday night, an altar of surrender. Again, this is up to you, whether you participate in it or not. We're not going to twist your hand. But again, I'm getting in line first on this one because I know what I know. And I know what is true by the word of God. So tonight we take you back to the altar of surrender to release anything that might be hindering you from understanding God's power of redemption intended for your lives. They might be unbelief or doubt. There might be, and most likely is, unforgiveness. There could be an attitude, a posture of rebellion. But Brother Michael, I'm spirit-filled, so. There might be hate, there might be anger. Excuse me, there might be resentment. Can I get some water, please? Thank you so much. There might be anger, there might be resentment. There might be a broken or bitter heart of a heart of bitterness. Thank you, Minister Shaw. But here's God's heart to us tonight. He's speaking to you as his beloved, as one of his beloved. He knows, and if you will take a few moments right now, let's do this. I'm going to ask you to take anything that's off your lap, your Bibles, if you're taking notes, and praise God that you take notes. Put aside your mobile devices, anything else, just anything that would be a physical distraction to you. Get your mind off the things that are going on in your home, with your family, your friends, on the job. Get your mind off your finances, everything else that might be a distraction. Come on, saints, work with us here tonight. Anything. Put it aside right now. Take a few moments. And don't be concerned about the person in front of you or in back of you or next to you. Simply close your eyes and ask him, ask God, what is it in your life that is preventing the redemptive power of God's plan to operate and function through you, to bring you to a place of success for advancing his kingdom in the earth, touching the lives of his kingdom people. Watch this, so that you too can live a kingdom life with kingdom purpose. Ask him. Is there unbelief? Is there doubt? Unforgiveness? Is there an attitude of rebellion? Hatred? Is there any anger, resentment? Is there a broken or bitterness of heart? Take a few moments here. We're going to stay here. There may be, without question, other areas that are operating in you that is preventing you from receiving God's redemptive plan in your lives. God is here, saints. He's here to restore to you the joy of salvation. He's here to give you revelation by the Holy Spirit. He's here to give you insight to this incredible and almost unexplainable power of redemption to save, heal, and deliver. Take a few moments here. Let's just be quiet. I'm going to ask, not a word, not a ruffle of paper, not a movement. Please. Those of you that are home, please join us in these few moments. Let God search your heart, saints. Come on. Let him take you into that deep place in the crevices of your heart where no man can take you, not an apostle, not a prophet, not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist. Holy Spirit, we give you permission tonight. We ask you to do what you've been sent to do through this word. To do in us and through us. We give you total permission. We surrender our lives to you. We surrender our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions to you right now. Come. Because of David's surrender to God, David gained victory over Goliath, over the lion, and over the bear. Tonight, from your own surrender to God, Holy Spirit will hear your words, giving you knowledge on how to forfeit, to give up the addictions, the bondages to idols, the resentment towards others that have offended you, the knowledge with power to renounce, reject, to refute, to abandon anything that the enemy has placed in your path. Saints, tonight, adore a gateway through understanding for surrender is here. Tonight, an altar has been created in this sanctuary. For you to come forward and forfeit those things that God is revealing you, to turn over to God those things that are preventing you from understanding the redemptive power of God for your lives. Tonight's a call for surrender. What's your surrender to God? And I want to explain this to you as we did last Monday night. Yes, God told us he had prepared an altar up here for surrender. But that altar doesn't have to remain here tonight. You can take this altar home with you so that when something is revealed to you tomorrow or the next day or next week, you can simply go, oh God in heaven, you can simply go to that altar at that moment and surrender those things, surrender that thing that is holding you back from understanding this redemptive gift that has been given to us from the uncreated one, he who has created heaven and the earth. He who is Elohim. He who is Elyon. He whose many names are Jehovah. Here tonight. So we ask you tonight, what is your surrender unto God? As God is revealing those things to you, we're going to simply ask you, just take your time, no rush on this. I'm going to ask you to come up here to the altar. We're going to anoint you tonight. And as God has in the past, if he has a word for you, I will speak that word into you. If there's not a word for you tonight, simply be reminded of the prophetic word that was given at the beginning of the service. And if you need to, you can go back and revisit that to gain a greater understanding of this redemptive work. And so I'm going to ask the ministry team, as the brethren are coming forward here, take your position. Charlotte, I need you with me, Pastor Fred, and anyone else who needs to catch and get the cloths ready to cover those who are coming up. So the altar's open to you, saints. And again, as I've said before, I'll stay here if need to till 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll do that on your behalf.